Can U.S. manufacturing jobs still offer a ticket to the middle class?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In just a few hours, the government will tell us how things are going at America's factories, and it might give us an idea of just how much we can rely on the American manufacturing sector for job growth. For years, the real action in manufacturing has been in emerging countries, especially in Asia. So is the manufacturing sector a place to look for jobs, well-paying jobs, in this country? For answers, let's bring in Marketplace's David Brancaccio, whose Economy 4.0 series is looking at how the new economy can better serve more people. David, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So is manufacturing a place that we can really look for jobs in the future, or is it dead or dying in this country?
Well, the stereotype is it's gone, right? All the jobs have gone somewhere else. Actually, 10 million Americans work in manufacturing now, and here's the news of the week. A new report calculates that there will be 3 million openings in manufacturing between now and the year 2018, which is not chicken feed.
And that's 3 million new jobs? These are jobs that are being created?
Not really job creation. That's the trick here, Jeremy. It's more like job, what should I call it, rotation. The main reason for these 3 million openings is because a lot of people currently working in manufacturing are boomers, baby boomers, and they're going to hit retirement. The actual number of jobs is actually down over the next 10 years. But still, lots of opportunity as the older folks get out of there.
Well, and when those baby boomers took those manufacturing jobs decades ago, perhaps, it really was seen as a ticket to the middle class. Is that going to be the case for the new people who are applying and getting these manufacturing jobs?
Well, right. Remember, you could get out of high school and you could maybe find a job as a machinist that would pay, okay, $42,000 a year or something like that. But I talked to Anthony Carnevale, the director of the Center on Education and the Workforce at Georgetown. The current situation is like this.
Nowadays, high school degree, high school skill level is not good enough.
Nowadays, you got to have at least 2 more years, if not 4 more years. And even if the factory is going to offer you on-the-job training, they're typically going to want to see at least 2 more years after high school.
So what needs to be done, David? How do we move forward in the world of manufacturing in the United States?
Well, it's the fourth largest sector of the economy, manufacturing. And Carnevale said this.
The fact that there are so many jobs there means you just don't walk away. It is the industry that's too big to fail, not Wall Street.
So he's not suggesting a bailout, but some kind of government incentives of the sort that we give, for instance, to the energy industry.
All right. Marketplace Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio, thanks so much.
Of course.
Now let's turn to the debt crisis in Europe. It has not been a pretty 24 hours in the bond markets, which determine the borrowing costs for Eurozone governments. Investors have been dumping bonds and not from the usual suspects like Italy and Greece. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The sell-off spread to some of the stalwart economies that we don't often hear about, like Finland, Austria, and the Netherlands. These countries have a triple-A credit rating, but investors now seem to fear that rating is at risk. These countries, along with Germany, may have to bear the additional crushing burden of trying to bail out Italy. So their creditworthiness is now in jeopardy. Steve Barrow is a currency strategist with Standard Bank.
The more that this crisis eats into the core of the Eurozone, countries like France and Belgium and the Netherlands, then the more difficult it will be for policymakers to solve the crisis.
One paradox remains. The euro itself is still fairly stable. Barrow believes that investors may reckon that some weaker countries could drop out of the euro, leaving the currency in the hands of Europe's strongest economies. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Asia, but they are heading higher across Europe at this point, up 0.4% right now in London. And here is an important number, 7. That's how many days the Congressional Super Committee has left to come up with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction. So far, no deal. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow inched up 17 points to close at 12,096.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
On Capitol Hill today, the House Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing about online piracy. Lawmakers are currently considering a bill called the Stop Online Piracy Act, which would give the government more power to enforce copyrights online for things like movies and medicine. But as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, not everyone in the business community is on board.
The bill would require search engines like Google to cut off links to websites that sell pirated videos and fake Viagra. The Chamber of Commerce has gone all out for the bill. It's hosted fly-ins to Washington so Hollywood bigwigs can lobby Congress personally. Stephen Tepp is an intellectual property attorney at the Chamber.
The idea is that you want to cut off these rogue sites from the U.S. marketplace.
The chamber's activism has made some of its members, like Hollywood studios and the pharmaceutical industry, very happy. But it's alienated members like Google. They're funding advocacy groups like Public Knowledge. Gigi Sohn heads Public Knowledge.
This will essentially force search engines to become the copyright police for the first time.
Sohn says Google would have to ferret out sites selling pirated products, a huge undertaking. Sohn played down reports that Google might quit the chamber. Google won't comment. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, tomorrow, President Obama will be in Darwin, Australia, and the local government leader, Paul Henderson, will have a gift for the president. An insurance policy in case of a crocodile attack. Henderson told Sky TV, quote, "We've got the crocodile insurance ready to go for Michelle and the kids. $50,000 if the president does get taken." Henderson adds that he doesn't expect the president will need to draw on the policy. Let's hope not. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It might be called the European Union, but economic equality wasn't really part of the deal, you know.
Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece, Ireland, you know. Which country can survive to this kind of policies? Only Germany.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Union maybe, happy family, not so much. That and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.